If you've ever felt stuck trying to figure out what you're passionate about, or wondered how to build real relationships that move your career forward, this episode is for you. Today, we dive into how passion fuels success, why relationships are your greatest asset, and simple strategies you can start using right now to open new doors. Plus, a reminder that it's totally normal to not have everything figured out yet, and why that actually might be an advantage. Let's get started. Welcome back to Business Isn't Hard. Today, we're joined by Kurt Watkins, a wealth advisor at North Point Wealth Partners of Raymond James, based in Tempe, Arizona. With a background as a competitive golfer, Kurt brings a strategic, skills-based mindset to wealth management, balancing preparation, execution, and adaptability to help clients reach their financial goals. He specializes in retirement planning and business exit strategies, helping both individuals and business owners navigate major financial transitions with the right mix of strategy, timing, and tools. Welcome to the show, Kurt. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad to have you on. I'd love to get a little bit of your background. I know, you know, you made a major transition from golf to where you are today. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. Yeah. So I played golf growing up, probably since the age of 14. Became a passion of mine, played baseball growing up, was in a number of different team sports. But I did, was drawn to golf because of the kind of autonomy of it. I could really kind of define my own destiny, be able to practice whenever I wanted. It really just was, something that appealed to me. So I took off with golf and then, you know, a few years later, I got a golf scholarship to play in college. And then after college, you know, I had a couple ideas of what I wanted to do, but you know, most of them were in the golf industry. So, kind of figured I was more of the jack of all trades within the golf industry. I played professionally, I caddied, I was what they call in the golf industry, a glorified shirt folder, as say maybe assistant pro. I've taught a little bit, so kind of did everything. And then after a number of years competing with, you know, kind of limited success, I moved on to what I do now. And I started with a firm called Edward Jones, which was great. Learned the business, kind of understood how to manage relationships within this space. And now that I've branched off from that broker dealer, and I do what I do now. And so I've started with a partner. And then we have also additional partners within our collective, about 28 advisors strong. We are on the independent channel of Raymond James. And so we help, specifically, we help individuals, families, and business owners with any of their financial needs. So we consider myself like a quarterback in that sense.
That's super cool. Yeah. Going back to the beginning, you went from golf to finance, which, I mean, I guess there's a lot of, you know, finance people who play golf, but it's still like a pretty big transition. Was that something you were planning on doing before you like really, quote unquote, retired? Or was that something you kind of just went in cold after you, you know, hung up the clubs?
Sure. Yeah. So I worked at a private course here in the Valley, and I had a lot of relationships that I would play with members at the course, and they actually kind of pushed me in that direction. I studied business in school. You know, I didn't really know what exactly I wanted to do, but I did know that I wanted to, you know, it's in some respect, I wanted to help teach people and educate people in something that can be slightly challenging. You know, much like golf, it's a very difficult sport to master, and actually you can't. And same with finance. There's a lot involved within our world. It should be very simple, but honestly, I just wanted to be that person that that could maybe, you know, simplify things. So the relationships that I met through golf kind of led me towards you know, this industry, and I loved it from day one, and so I just kind of ran with it, and now I do what I do now.
Yeah, I know you have a couple of degrees too. Is that something you did after, like, as far as certifications go, was that something you did after you started your position at Edward Jones, or was that you did it
before? Yep. Prepare for? Yeah, you bet. You know, when you I think some people in the industry call it kind of alphabet soup behind your name. But there's certain designations that can give you credibility within whatever niche or whatever space that you want to try to service. And so that's what I did. I wanted to focus on business owners, being one myself. I wanted to make sure that, you know, we were setting up the right pieces to help their, you know, really to help their business expand and grow, and also help their employees. So I got what's called the CRPS, which is a Certified Registered Retirement Plan Specialist, and then CEPA, which is a Certified Exit Planning Advisor. So just gives me a little bit more credibility within those spaces to help, you know, help those individuals and those business owners.
Yeah. Would you say, like, especially someone who kind of, you know, like you said, owns a business, for those looking to get into finance, whether it's, you know, retirement or exit planning or something else, would you say it's harder to go into it and then get your, like, a certification or something? Or should you maybe get a certification before you go into it? What do you think is the best approach for, you know, college students, people who wanted to get into that financial world?
Yeah, sure. There's so many different avenues that you can run with in finance. Whether you want to be, you know, a PM or portfolio manager, or you want to be just a true advisor like I am. Like I had mentioned before, in the golf industry, it was kind of a jack of all trades. I kind of see myself as that in finance. When you're an advisor, you're kind of, I guess, for better words, a master of none, a knower of all. So you kind of have, you know, a little bit of expertise in every field, but, you know, really to be successful as the advisor role is you want to leverage the different professionals that kind of stay in their own lane. So for us, you know, the portfolio management side, you know, we offset that to those that, you know, do that on a daily basis. The insurance side as well for protection needs. So we leverage a lot of different professionals that are within our space in order to help, you know, our clients. And sorry, just to, I'll go back. So to kind of, you know, further answer that question, should a college, you know, graduate or somebody aspiring to be in finance, I would say, like, trying to figure out what lane you want to go in. Once you get into that space, you'll figure out what really what you want to do. I know college is, you know, you're very young, you're going into something that you're going to study. Maybe it's not exactly what you want to do. Oftentimes people will change their majors or minors. But if you're focused on, hey, this is what I want to do, if I want to get into finance, you're starting to see more and more, you know, firms or financial institutions that may, you know, see a little bit more credibility with somebody that has, say, a designation like a certified financial planner or a certified financial analyst. That might give you a little bit more credibility. If you go into my space from the advisor role, relationships are the biggest thing. So I'm sure that, you know, that's probably something that's common in any of your advisors at ASU. They'll probably tell you, network with as many people as you possibly can, because you don't know who might be able to help you, you know, down the line. Make a lot of friends, and then figure out, you know, all these different professions, you know, maybe figure out, you know, really truly what you want to do.
Yeah. And I was about to ask that too, because, you know, relationships are how you even got into it in the first place. Do you have any tips and tricks? It might be easier, you know, on a golf course when everybody's playing the sport together, but just in general, your approach to really making connections and building those relationships, because that's probably ultimately key to your business, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I could probably attribute 80% of my business to relationships that I've met through golf. I Wow. think it comes down to not necessarily just golf, right? You know, I've had advisors ask me in the past, is, gosh, you seem to have success on the golf course. I'm like, I'm really thinking about taking up golf. And I would say that that would be great as a hobby, but really it's like focus on something that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about golf. I was a competitor, you know, from day one when I got into organized sports. So for me, it's my happy place. It's where I'm most confident. And I think when you find a common interest with somebody and let's just say it's you're good at whatever that lane is, it's going to show within those conversations or, creating those relationships. So I would say that, it doesn't necessarily have to be golf, but find something that you're passionate about. And if it's you're able to network through it, then more power to you. I think you'll be very successful.
Yeah, I like that a lot, right? I mean, you really found the place where, like you said, your happy place, right? Somewhere you can go and you really are passionate about what you're doing. And I'd assume it's kind of a similar feeling a little bit to your work. Do you have any tips and tricks for people who, I mean, again, finance is a huge industry. The world is huge. Like, there's so many different paths people can take, and it's really hard to figure out what you like to do. You've obviously found a passion or two. Is it any advice for those who are still, searching for that?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Again, when I got into college, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I started off as a not necessarily like pre-med, but like a biology major. I had like an interest where I thought what I was going to be like, that's the lane I wanted to go. I want to go into science. I want to figure out who, I don't know where it was going to take me. I realized that I didn't really like it as much. So I transitioned into more business. And I found that, that intrigued me a little bit more. I still had the intention in college that, maybe the miracle story where I, come out of college and I have this great success playing golf. That wasn't the case. But I think I did have a passion for what I was learning. And then it just so happened that, 10 years later, I decided to kind of utilize some of those skills. Kind of run with it. So, I think, for as you're learning at school, whatever avenue it is, trying to figure out, really what kind of, makes you, makes you tick, makes you, get up in the morning and want to learn more. And I found that a little bit later after college, and now the industry that I'm in. So,
yeah. Exactly. It's never too late, right? I mean, even if you're still trying to figure out right after college, there's still plenty of time. So I know you work with business owners, and I'm curious, on the financial side, I don't know if there's any like general applicable advice that you'd have to those who may be starting a business or own a business, but considering you work with and, you see so many business owners, are there any like common themes you see with a lot of them that make them successful? I'm not sure if that's kind of like in your wheelhouse, but I'm curious if based on what you see.
A lot of them are critical thinkers. They're able to adapt to maybe some adversity. I would say that most of them are a very motivated type A type of people. They figure out what they want to do and then they try to leverage, it's not, I think the most successful ones figure out who they need to leverage or what relationships they need to leverage in order to help them succeed. Because I do find it like kind of some two pitfalls is like one, they undercapitalize whatever endeavor they're trying to do, whether they're trying to raise funding for whatever lane they're trying to go in. And the other is they kind of lose focus on what's most important. And then they kind of get bogged down into kind of maybe the day-to-day tasks of operating a business instead of having that growth type of mentality. So, just leveraging those relationships, I think is extremely helpful and beneficial later in life.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly what you did too, right? I mean, leveraging business or relationships to create your own business. When you created your business, I mean, was there a huge risk? I mean, I'm sure there was a good amount of risk in doing it, but I don't know if it was like financial, just time wise. Like, what was it like to really go out and be like, "Hey, this is what I'm doing now. I'm going to start my own business."
Yeah. So, like I said, the broker dealer that I started with, Edward Jones, kind of built on Career Changers. A lot of successful advisors there and a great company. But I'd say for the most part, their workforce and that would be, for the majority of it, those that are bringing in the assets or creating the relationships, there are a lot of them are career changers and a lot of us, didn't really have, a whole lot of knowledge about what a financial advisor truly is or a wealth advisor is. Mm-hmm. It's something that, eventually is learned, but yeah, there's a huge risk, right? You're going from one profession to the next. you don't know if it's going to work. Fortunately for me, I met my wife, and she had a pretty steady job. So I could, we could justify paying the bills while I went out and tried to just build something out of nothing. So that's it. But I would say, like, somebody straight out of college, if they're passionate and they're motivated, there's going to be a lot of trials and tribulations, a lot of no's that you hear, because ultimately, you know, we're salespeople. We're out there to, you know, sell ourselves and to sell, you know, maybe a vision for what their future looks like. So a lot of times it's you're just hearing no. It can get, you know, very frustrating and you know, I would say for better words, you know, at some points we're very low. But I would say it's just, maintaining some resilience, and, you know, really emotionally, that can kind of get you through some of the rougher parts where you think, hey, maybe this would be easier if I did something else.
And on the point of selling too, as a business owner, you said it yourself, right? You're always having to sell, right? You have to sell yourself. You have to sell your business. You're also working a lot with business owners and in the financial world. What is like your day-to-day look like? Like, are you spending a lot of time trying to reach out and make those connections? I mean, obviously you're spending time working with clients too, I'm assuming, and then managing employees as well. Like, how does that balance look for you?
Yeah. So I think it comes down to being able to prioritize your day. You know, there's always going to be, especially like times like right now, right? The equity markets and fixed income markets are kind of all over the place. You know, one day it's up, one day it's down. Some of them are pretty significant changes. So occasionally you're putting out some fires. I'd say for an advisor, a lot of times during times like these were the emotional support. But it comes down to prioritizing, you know, what is something that you absolutely need to do now? What can, maybe wait till later in the day? But, you know, for what my day looks like, can be different from week to week. A lot of times it's talking, it's communicating with, the relationships that I have and then trying to cultivate newer relationships. For us, like for instance, this afternoon, part of our team is hosting a business forum for business owners, just really focusing on planning for an eventual exit. A lot of times, business owners are when they start a business, they're very growth focused. They want to build that business and build their empire, and a lot of things. The planning side is really secondary. So we're hosting something this afternoon that gets us in front of business owners that we already work with, and then ideally those that we don't, and just trying to share our message and see if we can be of assistance. So something like that's pretty fun. We're doing it at Chase Field this afternoon, and then following with a baseball game. But then other days it's, hey, I'm in here, managing, the different assets within a client's portfolio, or figuring out what relationships fit for each one of my clients' specific needs. So it can be very different, but ideally if you can kind of have, forward looking thought process to your calendar, that can help and kind of keep you, focused.
Yeah. And continuing on that, first of all, that's really cool. I mean, I think it's nice to have that, variety in your day, I'm sure too. So nothing's like super repetitive and gets boring. But continuing on the point of selling too, do you have any advice for those who are maybe trying to sell through relationships? Like, I know you want to make your relationships very authentic, and you want to, cultivate them, in a genuine manner. But at the same time, you're also having to balance, trying to sell your business. How do you balance that? What is your approach when you meet new people?
Yeah. Ask open-ended questions and be a good listener.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds very simple. A lot of times it's, we do get in our own way when we have a conversation because everybody likes to talk about themselves.
Yeah. Right?
but I would say, yeah, it's, be a good listener. In our world, in my world, it's not just one size fits all. There might be different needs for different individuals or business owners or families, right? So, understanding, what what truly they're trying to accomplish, and then maybe trying to find a solution or provide some advice that suits that.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I mean, listening and then learning, right? And like you said, everybody likes to talk about themselves. And then on learning too, there's a few lightning round questions I want to ask you. The first of which is, what is your favorite business book or podcast?
Business book or podcast. I'll keep it within my industry. There's a great book by Morgan Housel called The Psychology of Money. I encourage any investor to read that or listen to it. He has some very, very good actionable items within there that kind of gets you thinking about money in a different way, and how to grow your wealth in a little bit different way. I think, depending on your age, our actions are typically defined by certain life events. Whether that's, going all the way back, and I'm just talking about finance, but if it goes all the way back to, like, say, the Great Financial Crisis, or even further back, like the tech bubble, or even some of my, retirees that remember 87 crash, or even back into the 70s and 60s, right? So they have these things that, whether extremely emotional, or whether it's beneficial or not, it defines a lot of times their investment habits. And I think this kind of gets you a little bit different perspective on, thinking about how really money managing works.
Yeah. Okay. That's super interesting. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. It's very easy to be emotional with money, right? So
shouldn't be. Yeah. But you figure your health and your money, are probably some of the two most important things in your life. Obviously family and friends too, but if you have the stigma around investing and money that isn't great, then you might make some decisions that might not favor your future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. What is your biggest pet peeve in business?
I think creating realistic expectations, and those that don't. For me, in my industry, it's always under promise, over deliver. If I maintain that mentality, I don't want to ever. We can't use the G word in our world. Yeah. Guarantee, right? But make sure that you're proactive with your communication. And make sure that, you're not overextending yourself to where, that maybe can, hurt the relationship.
Is it hard to find the balance between, like, under promising, because you want to obviously over deliver, but also promising enough to where they're going to be, like, satisfied, right? You can't go too low, or else they're like, well, why would I do this? Is that something that's just come with time, or is that, I'd imagine that is a fine line to walk.
I would say that when you start off in this industry, you're trying to, and especially if you've changed industries, or even if you went to school just specifically for a certain area of finance, you're still learning as you go. You're constantly learning, and it's probably the case for every industry, right? Especially if you're passionate and you want to be successful in it. But I would say that, there is a balance there. Mm-hmm. But when you start off in anything, you're trying to share with that, maybe it's somebody you've never met before. You're trying to share that, hey, you're the professional in this world, and this is the reason why you should work with them. But ultimately, you might not have all the answers. So, just providing those expectations to say, like, hey, if I don't know the answer, I have the resources to find it. And just being, transparent about that with people. Last thing you want to do is kind of, fluff up a relationship or an answer and then come back, and you say you can't deliver on maybe some of those promises that you made.
Yeah.
And that just tarnishes the relationship a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure, right? Honesty and transparency is definitely something people are looking for, I'm assuming, in an advisor. Now, I know you've built up a lot of relationships over time. What is your best networking tip?
Yeah, sure. Best networking tip. I think it goes back to what I said earlier, is find something you're passionate about, and kind of run with it. And, you know, those that, you know, have a common interest are going to be more likely to trust you and potentially give you a second chance, or maybe even a first chance, right? Mm-hmm. So find something you're passionate about, whether it's focused on the industry that you're trying to go into, or if it's just purely a hobby like mine, and just run with that and try to figure out, you know, how you can connect with that next person through something that, you know, you both are passionate about.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about this before, but, going back to that, you know, ask open-ended questions and listen to, I think, are, once you meet that person, super key. What's a skill that every leader should have?
Yeah, I would say, be adaptable, especially in our industry, or my industry. You know, things change. The world changes on, you know, a minute by minute basis. You have to have the ability to adapt, I think, to, you know, to changing environment. For us, I mean, with this, you know, with AI becoming kind of the forefront of what a lot of investment is going into, you know, we, and in our world, we all, it's very personal, but we can utilize, you know, some certain things with technology that can maybe make our day a little bit easier, or make, you know, our client experience a little bit better. So I'd say adapt with the changing world and the changing markets.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I have a feeling I'll know what the answer to this is, but what is your go-to method for handling stress?
I'll go hit some golf balls.
Shocking.
Yeah, now for me, it's my happy place. So whether it's, you know, just going out there, tuning out, maybe putting on a podcast or audiobook or maybe some music, and just go beat some balls, or just getting out there with some good friends and playing golf. For me, you know, I'd probably spend like 50% of my time in an office. So if I can get out of the office on a work day, whether it's playing with a client or a prospect or a friend, or family member, that's a way that I can kind of decompress and kind of just say, all right, I've got, you know, whether it's an hour to myself to hit balls, or if it's, you know, 4.5 hours to go play golf. Ideally it doesn't take that long, so just kind of going out there, I'd say for anybody, like, find, you know, something that, you know, you like. And if you're having a difficult day or a stressful day, you know, mm-hmm. be okay with checking out for a little bit. Cause your mental health is very important in any business.
Yeah, exactly. And a quick question, because I'm curious. You said you spend 50% of your time in the office. Do you mean 50% of all your time or 50% of like your work time?
Yeah, probably 50% of my work time. Yeah, okay. You figure, you know, if you segment your day, you know, let's just say it's like an 8 to 5 kind of work day, mm-hmm. sort of thing, right? So you've got 8 hours at work. You probably have 8 hours sleeping. And then you have another 8 hours or so that you're going to spend, you know, ideally with the people that you want to be around, whether it's family or friends or, you know, whoever it might be, or maybe it's by yourself. I mean, if you can figure out, you know, prioritize your day, be efficient with the time that you have. But yeah, so for me, my days are pretty relatively flexible, I'd say, mm-hmm. Because I do leverage different relationships. I don't have to be in here. I'm not a stock picker, right? Which a lot of times most people think, and as a financial advisor, that's what you do. You just sit here and watch the markets. It's kind of furthest from the truth. Mm-hmm. We leverage the professionals that do that on a daily basis, that sit in New York or, you know, Wall Street or Chicago or whatever it might be. So I, you know, I would say that if I can get out of my office, my work day, you know, 50% of the time, if I'm outside or just out meeting people, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a win.
Yeah, that seems like a really good balance. Well, thank you so much, Kurt, for being on. We'll end on this last question. Over the course of you know, your golf career and now your career in finance, what has been the biggest key to your success as a leader, you know, as a successful business owner, just in general? What has been, you know, that core, really that kind of key to what you've done?
Be very open with people and just try to make a connection. you never know what the next conversation is going to bring. You really never know that, you know, the person walking by could help you in the future, or ideally maybe you can help them. So I would say, you know, just be open to any conversation, be open to making a lot of friends, and then eventually you'll find out whether you want to continue that relationship or not. But ideally, if they think of you the next time, especially in my world, if they're thinking of you the next time, you know, whether it's related to your industry or your hobby, then great. Then maybe that can help progress your business.
Yeah, awesome. That's great advice. Thank you so much, Kurt, again for being on. This was great.
Yeah, you bet. No, my pleasure.
Thank you. Sounds good.
All right.
That was Kurt Watkins. Today's conversation with Kurt really hammered home the importance of finding your passion. As Kurt shared, passion gives you energy, focus, and resilience. It's what gets you up in the morning, as a career and as a hobby outside of your career. Kurt was able to merge his passions, golf and teaching people, into what he does today. Neither of those lend themselves directly to finance. However, the two merge into what Kurt does today and really combines what he likes to do. Finding what excites you isn't optional. It's really essential. Once you're moving in the right direction, Kurt talked about how passion naturally opens the door for relationships. When you're energized, people notice, and they want to be around you. Building strong relationships becomes less about networking and more about connecting with people who share your passions. It's much easier to talk to someone when you enjoy the same things. Kurt gave a couple of big tips for the conversations as well. Ask open-ended questions and be a good listener. When you're meeting people, don't focus on what you can say to impress them. Instead, ask open-ended questions, be genuinely curious, let people talk about themselves. That's how real opportunities start to show up. Finally, one of the best reminders from today's episode is that it's okay to not to have it all figured out. Kurt spent years in the golf world before transitioning into finance. It obviously wasn't too late for him. Clarity often comes from action. You find your way by moving forward, making connections, and letting your passion guide you one step at a time. Thanks for listening. I encourage you to do something you really enjoy this week. Hopefully, you're already going to do it. And whatever it is, see if it's possible to strike up a conversation with someone doing the same thing. Someone at the gym, in your studio, or on the course. It's a great way to practice your conversation skills, and you never know what might happen. I'll see you next Monday. In the meantime, keep building something great. Thanks for tuning in.